You know, the verse that I'm going to use this morning for my text in the next few minutes is not part of the Christmas story, but as far as appearing in the portion of Scripture in Matthew and Luke that deal with the Christmas story, but I think it embodies the Christmas story in the words that make up this verse. Of course, the verse I'm talking about is John 3:16. Where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know what the greatest part of the Christmas story is? It's the fact that God loved us. In fact, the Bible says that he loved us. And it would be hard for us to understand how much he knew that. And so he used that little word, S-O, so, for God so loved the world. And he tries to describe it for us in just about every page of this book. But I'll be honest with you, I've read this book through almost 25 times this year, from cover to cover. And every time I read it, I realize more and more that I understand about this much of how much God loves us. I wish I could describe it for you this morning and take you to the farthest end on each end and to the height and the depth of it, but I can't. And so I'll simply follow the Lord's example and remind you this morning that God loved you so much. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's not a single person here that deserves that love. And I'm so glad that we have a God that didn't wait till we deserved his love to love us. I'm so glad that when we were yet sinners, and all our righteousnesses in God's sight were as filthy rags, that he commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that he sent Jesus to die for us. So this morning I want you to know, first of all, that there is a God in heaven that loves you. And I know that verse says, "For God so loved the world," but he wasn't talking about this planet on which we live. He was talking about the people that inhabited it. The people that have lived on it, the people that live on it now, the people that will live on it in the future. And I want you to personalize that verse this morning. I want you to say it in your heart like this: "For God so loved me." Now just let that sink in. Say it to yourself: "For God so loved me." The creator of the universe, the one that spoke this world and everything in it into existence over a six-day period, the one the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, even today, holds it all together. We consist because he keeps his eye and his thoughts on us. That God loves me, and he loves you. For God so loved you and me that he gave. We've often talked about that love is just not an emotion. And I know it is an emotion, but love that is only an emotion isn't very much love. Like faith without works isn't very much faith. Love, just an emotion, is not very much love. It's when that love goes into action that it becomes true love. I can say I love somebody, but if I never do anything for them, if I never express that love in any other way than by just saying it, it wouldn't be much love. But when I say to somebody, "I love you," and then make sure that they have what they need and sometimes what they want, and try to make them happy and try to help them fulfill those fulfill themselves as a person, then that's true love. And for God to set up in heaven and say to us, oh, I love you, and say again, I love you, and say again, I love you, wouldn't be much love. But when God says, I love you, and because I do, I'm going to send my son. That's true love. True love. You see, you say, well, preacher, why did God need to send his son? Well, I'll tell you, because we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin separates us from God. Just like it separated Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they committed that first sin, when they disobeyed God, they had to be kicked out. They had to leave his presence. It was their sin that separated them from God. So our sin separates us from God. And you listen to me. God made us to fellowship with him. This is something else I don't understand. Why would God, the infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, why would he want to fellowship with me? Why would he want to fellowship with you? I have no idea. But I believe this book when it says we were created for his pleasure. We were created to be with him. Every single person in this room this morning, every single person that's ever lived on the face of this earth, every single person that will live on it, was made, created, however you want to say it, by God to have fellowship with him. And that our sin got in the way. And it puts a barrier between us and God. And God says, I got to do something. Because they can't do anything to fix it. Mankind can't do anything to fix it. They can't be good enough to pay for their sin. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say the wages of sin is to be good for 4 years. It doesn't say the wages of sin is to give a lot of money to the church. It doesn't say the wages of sin is you got to be baptized to wash away your sins or you got to take communion. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay the price. Somebody has to pay the penalty that every single one of us owe because we're sinners. Somebody has to die to be separated from God, to suffer in hell. And God said, I don't want those that I've created to do that. It's what we all deserve. It's what we all deserve. You listen to me, every single one of us, from this preacher to Brother Ryan back over there in this corner, to Justin back over there in this corner, if we got, and everybody in between, if we got what we deserved, we'd spend an eternity in hell. But God says, no, I'm going to do something. I'm going to send my son, Bethlehem's child, and he's going to go to a cross, and he's going to take the sin of every person, and he's going to pay for that sin. And that's exactly what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. He took all my sin. He took all your sin. And in God's sight, he paid for every single one of them. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Aren't you glad that God made salvation so easy? Aren't you glad God didn't say, hey, you have to know so much to be saved, or you have to be so good to be saved, or you have to do this and do that, and you have to keep doing it to be saved? I'm glad he didn't say that. I'm glad he simply said, whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus, in the eternal Son of God. Whosoever believeth in him, that he is God's Son, that he did come to pay for our sins. Paul and Silas were asked by the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? And it hadn't changed since Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, Paul and Silas said the same thing that Jesus did. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I want to tell you something. It hasn't changed one bit since that day. It's still the same answer. It's still the same formula. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. That means we don't have to pay the price for our sin. We don't have to be separated from God. We don't have to go to hell. Should not perish. We don't have to pay what we owe. Somebody else has paid it. Paid it in full. But have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's what believing in Jesus Christ gets you. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Life that will never end. Life that is with our Creator, our God, forever and ever and ever and ever in that place called heaven. I was thinking about this last night as I was finishing up my sermon this morning. The Bible tells us some things about heaven. First of all, it says there's mansions in heaven. And that word, if you study it, it means nest. And the Bible tells us, and Jesus told us, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So in heaven, there is a place prepared for each one of us by Christ. Now just think about that. He who spoke the world into existence is in heaven right now, preparing every Christian a place. The Bible also tells us that heaven, the streets of heaven, the street of heaven, is made out of gold. One of the things that men in this world hold most precious is used to pave the streets in heaven. Bible says there's a wall around the heaven, and the gates are made out of pearls. No night there, no pain, no sickness, no tears. Heaven's a pretty wonderful place. Here's what I was thinking last night. Take away the mansions. Take away the streets of gold. Take away the gates of pearl. Take away the fact there is no pain. Take it away. Take away the fact that there is no tears. Let there be night in heaven. Let there be tears in heaven. Let there be pain in heaven. Take everything, take it away. And as long as Jesus is there, it's still heaven. It's still heaven. Now, if you're here today and you've never done what John 3:16 says, you've never believed in that only begotten Son of God, I can't think of a better day to do it than today. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, would you do it today? Would you do it right now? Would you just simply say, Father, I'm a sinner. I deserve the punishment of sin. But I believe that Jesus Christ came and he died for me. And right now I'm asking him to be my Savior. You've never prayed a prayer like that. Would you do it this morning? Would you? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Claim that promise this morning, would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the message.